Now, from WPTL Sports, it's time for Pisgah High School Black Bears Girls Varsity Fast Pitch Softball with Rhonda Bird and Chuck Fiebernets.
Welcome, Pisgah Nation. It's less than 24 hours, Chuck, and we're back on again. We're at the Diamond on the River Park, where today the Pisgah Black Bears will host West Henderson for a crucial another conference game. And, Chuck, it just seems like we just got home and turned around and had to come back to another ball field.
Well, I tell you what, I like that. I like back-to-back games. I like stringing together three and four games. I love that when I was playing ball. But one thing I did not like was playing baseball wet. And we were wet when we got out of that ballpark, and we had just gotten all the equipment down and into your vehicle and started out of Franklin when we hit that storm coming our way.
No, it was terrible last night. The field conditions were terrible for Pisgah. I don't know. You know, our girls are used to playing on a good field, and that field was atrocious. They didn't even try to put any dry down in the around home, around the base pads like you see them doing Major League or college to try to help the traction of the players. I was really fearful for our players that somebody would get extremely hurt, because that kind of conditions last night is where your cleats get hung and you sprain an ankle or you twist a knee, and that could be in the rest of your season.
Well, you know what? And it's true what you just said. But I really think that it under the first game underneath the lights, it wasn't the wet conditions. Both teams played in it. I just think Pisgah, look, and having played this game, you really struggle seeing the ball and the depth perception both defensively and hitting the ball in the box. You really struggle your first night. That's why coaches try to get games, scrimmage games, or even practices at night. So, you know, you're not at bay of that darkness and everything, because it's a different. I always saw the ball better in an afternoon game, and at night, if you're not seeing the ball as well as the afternoon, it's just that natural light, that brightness, and you see everything, and you have the open sky as a depth perception. Where at, you know, with the darkness hanging over your head, you know, you have no depth perception on a ball.
Yeah.
You really can't tell if it's a towering fly ball or if it's a looping liner.
But most of the errors we made last night were we couldn't pick the ball up. It would get in the grass, get so saturated, so wet, that we could not pick it up because it rained really hard 30 to 45 minutes before the varsity went out there. And when it hit the grass, it would die. And when we would try to pick it up, it was slippery.
I really think that, the defensive, when it got out there and they had the trouble and they were taking extra bases, but, you know, you got to give Franklin credit
in that.
They got a beautiful pitching performance out of Caitlin Bishop. And she just attacked and pounded the strike zone. And the hitters, they were attacked. They were on all from 1 through 9. They were on attack mode. And we were taking pitches.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. And again, when you take a lot of pitches, and it was just watching body language, I just don't think our girls were seeing the ball because it was a night game. It was their first time underneath light. And I just don't see. I hope someday we can get lights here and play traditionally. When the weather breaks, we can play night games. People can come and see.
And the JVs would benefit from that also.
Right.
They would get a full game in before we would play. We wouldn't have to rush, and they wouldn't have to rush, knowing that we had lights. And you're exactly right, Chuck. It benefits both sides of that program.
Franklin has lights, and they play under lights, and they have played, I think it was five games underneath the lights. They were used to it. And they came out and they were just aggressive. But here's the thing. It's just a game.
We still
have the lead.
Yeah, we still have the lead.
We're not tied with anybody. We're in first place. Our one game, our two game lead over Bavard, is now shrunk to one game over Bavard.
Right.
And we have them coming here. What I was surprised about is getting out of the park and looking at our information. And, and we had just talked about it before we went on air. Franklin had reported by the coaches, had three losses in the conference, and we're trying to figure out where the third loss is.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out the third loss, and so me and Chuck looked at each other and said, three? I thought they only had two, Bavard and us, so we'll just have to, it might be West, it might be North, who knows, we can't ever tell. But today, we're facing West, which is, I'm calling this Bounce Back Thursday.
Bounce?
Bounce back Thursday.
Is that it? You bounce back Thursday? Is
they
that something
lost
like
last
at Wild Wing, Buffalo
yeah,
Wild Wings?
Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings. We're at Bounce. I wish I had some Buffalo Wild Wings right now. But bounce back Thursday because West Henderson played Inca last night and lost. Brianna Morris, which that's who we'll be going against today, pitched. She had a five hitter. One earned run, three strikeouts, two base on balls, and they lost to Inca last night 1-0. Exact same score we lost to Inca to. We lost to Franklin last night in basically the same fashion, and so I think it's going to be both teams. Let's see who jumps up and says, this is our time to bounce back from the loss. Let's see who jumps on the train first and takes advantage of it.
Do you think that this team can bounce back, you know, as young as they are? Do you think that this is losing at Franklin last night and, you know, still in the cobwebs of, you know, each of these kids, or do you think they've kind of let it go and they're ready to play West Henderson?
I think they've let it go. These kids have been together so long. They played so much travel ball together that they're used to losing, then turn around and having to play another team. And so it's just a loss to them. They're going to remember what they did wrong. They'll probably think about today, but I think Pisgah will bounce back tremendously today. I think they're going to be very aggressive at the plate, and they're going to be very aggressive on the base paths. The field is in good shape. It's dry. Coach Leatherwood has done an excellent job with the field. I think that our speed, which we never got to take advantage of last night because of the wet conditions, will come into play today. The first game when we played West Henderson at West, we kept them on the run defensively because we put pressure on them, stealing bases and going for extra bases. And that's going to be the key today, is keeping the pressure on their defense.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. Umpires are present. We got infield. Teams are getting ready. We may have a little later start than 4 o'clock, but we're going to take a break right now and pay for this this broadcast. So we'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Sugar Bear Softball is being brought to you by B. Allen Construction, Ken Wilson Ford, Midwest Haywood, Champion Credit Union, and American Pawn and Pickers.
American Pawn and Pickers, and we do the picking,
go to the grinning.
Buying, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us, or we will come to you. And these guns and guitars and diamond rings, we will loan you money or buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, we do the picking. We'll do the grinning. 1116, y'all come see us now. You hear?
B. Allen Construction Company is proudly backing the Pisgah Black Bears girls softball team. B. Allen Construction has a history of excellence. Large commercial construction, residential building and remodeling, large jobs or small. B. Allen Construction Company of Candler is happy to provide free estimates, references, and a commitment to doing the job right. For construction, grading too, call 665-8479 for B. Allen Construction.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford and Ken, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
AM 920 is WPTL, Canton.
Now back to Pisgah Black Bears girls varsity softball here on AM 920 WPTL. Here's Rhonda Bird and Chuck Fiebernitz.
Welcome back. We're in our pregame show. Chuck and I were discussing the upcoming game with the Pisgah varsity softball against West Henderson Falcons. And Chuck, they're out there warming up right now, and I really like the way this feels dry. The ball's really scooting out to where last night it would hit the ground dry.
Well, you have it's a sunny day, clouds in the sky, but you got those cumulus clouds that are off in the distance, and the flag, Oh Glory, out in left center field is blowing straight out from home to left center field. So this may be a day for right-handed hitters.
Oh, I hope so. We really need some hitting tonight. After last night, we were just like, could not believe our bats were so silent last night. So today, I think Callie Kirkendall's going to be inside the circle again. And she really struggled last night. First time I ever seen her frustrated inside the circle.
Well, you know, Ronnie, you had pointed out several games this year. In the last couple weeks, Callie has had a slow start. And then she's really buckled down inside the circle and pitched well.
She did last night.
You know, in first three innings, she was missing, getting behind, you know, missing first pitch, getting, you know, behind in the hitter. And they were, oh, look, they were coming up swinging the bat. I mean, they were swinging the bat right from the dugout. I mean, there was no hesitation. Their game plan as hitters were to attack Callie Kirkendall. And Callie was trying to find a rhythm. And, you know, when you pitch 1-0 and 2-0 and 2-1, you're constantly pitching from behind. That's the hitter's advantage. And a good team like West Tennyson took, you know, advantage of it. However, when she got later in the game and started working ahead in the count, she got strike one right away. All of a sudden, it was a different Callie Kirkendall. But that's what she's been like for the last 2 weeks, is that in the latter part of the game, she has been pounding that strike zone, getting ahead of hitters, and then she has that array of pitches, and she gets in a rhythm. So what Pisgah has to do for Callie Kirkendall is find some way, whether it's warming up longer, 5 minutes longer, or what, they're going to have to find a way to get her going right from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think that's an issue. You remember back a couple of years ago when we won the state championship, Logan Matthews was the same way. She would start slow, then by the end of the game, she was really strong. And Serena had commented one time when I interviewed her about it. She said, well, maybe we just need to warm her up about 5 or 10 minutes more, you know, and see if that helps. So you're right, and I think Serena knows that she's a great coach. Coach Goodwin's a great coach, and she sees these things. So she's going to work at it, you know, and by the end of the run, Pisgah will be, you know, I don't know if you can say be the team, but I still think that in the 2A part of the division, it's still going to come down between Madison and Pisgah. I still think they're the best two 2A teams in this end of the state. In Western North Carolina.
Well, with realignment, it'll be the last year for the Pisgah Black Bears to be in 2A. They move to Class 3A next year. And in softball, Rhonda, Class 3A is loaded.
Yeah.
So they're moving up from a very tough division in Class 2A, and they're moving up to 3A in the state of North Carolina. And the superior teams like Alexander Central, the top-notch, you know, highly ranked teams nationally, Alexander Central are all 4A. So we are moving up to a tougher division as far as classification for postseason. We'll stay and remain in this conference. We just will flip and play for the 3A and everything.
Well, you know, and you're right. That's going to be tough for us because being from the mountains, we don't have a lot of pull as far as kids and stuff. Unless me and you get out there and start recruiting again, you know, we got to get out there and get these kids coming.
Wait a minute. I got all deniability on this. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay.
No.
So, but I mean, you know, Randy always said, the program is what we got to have to draw the good kids to come and play.
Right.
The good players.
Right.
We're getting the program. Look at all the programs that Pisgah's got that is good. Basketball, softball, volleyball. I mean, you got all the sports for women. All they need to do now is come.
Well, again, we have umpires. I believe manager Mike Matthews of West Tennyson is completed his warm-ups. Pisgah has just completed their pregame infield. The home plate umpire and the field umpire are waiting at around home plate, I should say, waiting for the managers so they can go over the ground rules. And then shortly after that, introductions, Star Spangled Banner, and we're going to be ready for some exciting Western North Carolina Athletic Conference softball here at the Diamonds on the River Complex in Canton, North Carolina. If you're not here and planning to come, there's room in the stadium to have a good seat and watch some outstanding softball. If you can't make it, we thank you for tuning in to AM 920 WPTL, or if you're listening on WPTLRadio.net. We thank you again, and always, you can never miss any actions by just tuning into the radio dial on WPTL or on your iPhones or iPads and computers. We'll bring the action live to you every time we're on the air. Rhonda, this is going to be an exciting softball game.
Yeah, it's 69 degrees, folks. It's perfect. It's not cool. There's not a nip in the air. It's really great. And It's great softball weather. The wind's blowing outfield, so, you know, I'm enjoying this better than last night. Last night I liked froze to death.
Well, you know, the fact is that you have got to do. I spent my life playing in snow,
yeah,
baseball in snow, rain. You know, even
yeah,
one time
you're from Michigan.
Yeah, I know. We have to find ways to do that. And I remember one time watching a coach go out and was pouring gasoline after an all night rain, pouring gasoline over the skin part of the infield. And I watched him. All of a sudden, he took a match and lit it in that fire, and that dried it up, and they raked it out, and we played baseball. I mean, you find ways, you really find ways to play, because your school season
yeah,
is so limited.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to, every time you play, you have to play double headers.
And North Carolina keeps starting the season earlier and earlier and earlier every year, it seems so.
Well, you know, if I may get on my soapbox, as we were discussing today, the regionals and how that Pisgah and the teams in the West always are getting the shaft, so to speak, with the state association with basketball. Look, they do a fine job in every sport, with the exception, in my mind, basketball for the West Regional, because they moved it all the way. You play a West Regional in the central part of the state. And we were talking about, well, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I said there should be no more reason and burden put on kids. When you stop and look at the teams that all made it to the state, recording how many miles they logged to get to the regional twice,
yes,
and then go to the state championship. Okay. I said, Pisgah is logged over 2,200 miles going back and forth twice to Greensboro
and then to Chapel Hill.
Excuse me, it was over 2,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, teams don't even hit four numbers.
No.
You know, they just, you know, they're complaining if they go 400 miles in total, the miles they logged. And I just think it's ridiculous. But, you know.
Well, you know, in the budget cuts, I just read the other day where North Carolina's cutting the budgets on some of the sports, and especially wrestling. And there's a couple of high schools down the eastern part of the state that have canceled their wrestling program because of the budget cuts.
Yeah, well, and you stop and think about that, and there's, you know, but I honestly believe that when you're talking, as we're discussing this matter, they're introducing the teams, and is that team, you know, they talk about, well, you know, it's an inclement a weather issue. Okay, well, it's not all right, as you say, association, for teams to come from the Piedmont area, inner cities of Charlotte, Winston, Salem, and Greensboro, to travel that distance and spend their money traveling up the mountain in inclement weather and coming back. Rather, but it's okay in your mind for the people, fine folks of the mountains, to travel down the mountain in inclement weather and all that distance and spend their money and then travel back again. Mm-hmm. I get that right, and they just kind of look at you.
Yeah.
I honestly believe this. I believe the sole reason is the fact that they've moved it closer to Chapel Hill, that every one of your regionals has to be manned and operated by associates, Chapel Hill Association associates. Nobody wants to travel all the way to Chapel Hill and come to Asheville to run, stay there Wednesday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and, you know, Saturday while you're running all the regional tournaments. Nobody wants to do that. But it's easier for them to go back and forth and everything. And so what they're concerned about is their mileage log. They're no more concerned about the kid, whether it's Pisgah kids, Tuscola kids, Franklin or Smoky Mountain, it does not matter.
Yeah.
These kids are having to travel an exceptionally long distance that no other teams and areas have to do. I asked a person from the association, how far did the people travel down in the east to go play the regionals in a coliseum in Fayetteville? Well, you're talking 90 miles. We're going to have the Star Spangled Banner, folks, as we've completed the national anthem. Thank you. Star Spangled Banner has just been played. We're ready for softball, and we're off our soapbox. We'll let that go for another day.
And we'll have plenty of time to discuss that in the future, trust me.
Rhonda, how are the Black Bears lined up defensively for this ballgame?
Well, it looks like we're going to have the same lineup as far as we're going to have Mahala Irvin behind the plate. We're going to have Shelby Tomasi playing third, Nadia Hudson at short. Sheridan Presley at second, Latrinko at first, and in the circle will be Callie Kirkendall. Out in right or left field is Tipton is going to be Michaela Tipton is going to be playing left field. And it looks Taylor Gallion in center, and you got Ashley Penland in right field.
So that's how they're lined up defensively as Callie Kirkendall gets her warm-up tosses in. The batteries for Pisgah today is Kirkendall and Irvin. And scheduled up to face Kirkendall will be Kelsey Walker, Laurel Koontz, Brianna Morris, 1-2-3 in the West lineup as we begin the top of the first inning on this windy day here in Canton, North Carolina. I hope that wind dies when West is at the plate and gets, you know, kicks up when the Black Bears come to bat.
Well, you better start praying to somebody higher than us to control the wind.
We're ready to go. Kelsey Walker steps in. She'll be playing second base for West Henderson, and Kirkendall's ready to go too as she gets her sign on the first pitch of the game. Just missed, ball low. The Black Bears coming off of a heartbreaking 5-1 loss to Franklin last night. It was their first loss in the conference. Next pitch is hit off the hands as Latrinko hauls that in. A little blooper to the first baseman, Alex Latrinko.
And she really mazed it.
Boy, I tell you what, Kirkendall has just got a little gas out here. She's just throwing the heater. And she busted Walker on the hands, and that'll bring up Laura Koontz with one out here in the top of the first inning. Next pitch is a high pitch for a ball.
So Latrinko at first is an excellent first baseman, fielding first baseman, and good bat.
Kirkendall gets her sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and right at Tomasi. Picks it up. Throws the first. I mean to tell you, that was scorched at her. And again, she has got the definition down of hot corner, and she mans it well.
She don't act like she's afraid. She don't back up. She just takes it. And it could easily went under her glove and through her legs because it was that hit hot. That hard of a hit.
Well, I tell you what, Tomasi may need some catching gear if this is the way the day's going to go, and that's going to bring up Brianna Morris. Called strike, got the corner and at the knees, too. Tomasi had three plays last night like that where they were just scorched at there, and she just plays the hot corner fearless.
Fearless.
Next pitch is high for a ball, and it evens the count at 1-1.
And it looks like she got all the mud off them shoes, too, Chuck.
Oh, you know that girl's going to be dressed. Yeah. She's dressed to the nines. She's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
She just needs some eye black underneath the eyes. Next pitch. Nice pitch by Kirkendall. Have a little movement on it.
Make her look meaner.
I'll tell you what. Put a black eye, put makeup and make her look with a black eye and a couple gashes, and she'd scare everybody.
She would.
So 1-2 pitch coming. Here it is. Changeup grounded over to Presley at second. She flips over to Latrinko. That's all for West Henderson as they go out in order. No runs, no hits, and no errors. And as we move to the middle of the first inning, no score in this ball game.
You know, I was sitting here thinking as Koontz was up to bat, and Koontz was their pitcher last year, and she was really good. This year they've been going back and forth between her and Brianna Morris. So I'm wondering, Koontz pitched against us the last time we faced him, and we beat him 6-2. Makes me wonder if he just wanted to use Brianna Morris to give us something different, or if Koontz is really having problems this year, because I know she's getting hit pretty good.
Well, Mike Matthews, the manager for the West Henderson team, his way of managing is that if Koontz pitched and she got hit hard, he's going to bring somebody else and give you a different look. If Koontz pitched the first time and really dominated Pisgah, that's in the heads of Pisgah. You're going to see Koontz again. So obviously, as you said, 6-2 the first game, and they handled Koontz well. So that's going to be a Brianna Morris inside the circle while Koontz will go out and play left field for West Henderson.
Yeah.
No change in the order, especially in the top of the order. is that it's going to be Ashley Penlin, Sheridan Presley, and the slugger, Mahala Irvin.
That nobody wants to pitch to. Even Franklin didn't want to pitch to her last night.
Sitting on 29 career home runs for the last three weeks. 30. Or 30, excuse me. Yeah, that's right, 30. 30 career home runs. Let's not make that mistake.
And I seen today where Izzy McCurry is at 35. She had two last night.
Good for her.
So she's only two away from tying the record.
I tell you, a sub-500 team.
Yeah, really.
Irvin will take being in first place and having...
Yes.
Before the personal, and she has openly stated that numerous times. All right, we're ready to go. Morris has completed her warm-up tosses. We're moving into the bottom of the first inning. Scheduled to face Morris will be Ashley Penlin, Sheridan Presley, and Mahala Irvin. And here's the first pitch from Morris to Penlin as a ball outside. Home plate umpire Mike Butchler is working with the gear behind the plate.
And Bruce Stevenson is out in the outfield.
Our good friend Bruce Stevenson, his next pitch caught the corner, strike one. So it evens the count at 1-1. Nice changeup by Miss Morris.
Kind of interested to see how Ashley does. She's been struggling the last couple games. If it's just maybe in a slump.
Next pitch just missed on the outside part of the plate. And that will make the count now at 2-1 as the sun darts behind a cloud. And a sunless field. That pitch swung on, high pitch, and lifted out of play. Penlin chased the pitch above the shoulders.
They could be pitching Ashley different now since she's been such a hot hitter, like they do Mahala.
Swung on, hanging in there, one right back into the backstop. Count does remain at 2-2. Anxious to see how these Black Bears recover off of a heartbreaking loss last night to Franklin. Here's the pitch changeup, and that's right at the shortstop. Picked up, throw to first base, and that's off for Penlin as they retire her. Lauren Norris, the shortstop for West Tennyson. Hit right at her. Hit hard, but right at her, and that's one out here in the bottom of the first, and that's going to bring up Sheridan Presley.
Who was really frustrated last night because they kept pitching way outside to her and she couldn't get it.
First pitch is high for a ball. Presley had one of those nights that you don't want to remember. Uh-huh. As Roger Clemens would say, I want to misremember that. Struck out three times. Swung on and lined right at the first baseman, Taylor Houck, and that's... Retires Presley. She hit a one hopper and Hawk just stepped on first. So two hard hit ground balls. Morris is not fooling the hitters.
No, and our timing might be a little off right now because I think last night the Caitlin Bishop threw harder.
Here's Irvin. Swing on! Lifted. And that's going to be up against the wall right at the bases. Irvin tried to make a bid for it and... into the gap, and I got excited. I thought that was going, but...
I did, too. But it missed the wall. I mean, it hit the bottom of the wall, so it missed going out not by much.
Irvin gets a stand-up double. That's going to bring up Callie Kirkendall, the pitcher for Pisgah.
And she's going to get a pitch runner since there's two outs. Now, usually Serena takes her pitch runners with two outs so she can get her gear on. So we're going to get Casey Brown in pitch running for...
Miss Casey Brown will take over in... as the pitch runner at second base, as Irvin just jumped on the first pitch above the belt and hit it off the left center field wall. She didn't get it all. She got it on the end of the bat and still drove it to the wall, and that's going to bring up Kirkendall.
Nice. It's Tomasi.
It sure is.
So Tomasi. In the lineup.
Okay. I'm glad I penciled this in. So Shelby Tomasi moved up from the five hole.
To the four hole.
Good. We said that. Popped up and out of play.
Hey, it's going to be right back to us.
We said that a couple weeks ago. That
that was great.
Tomasi needs to be looked at for the four hole, and I'm glad that that move is made. Yeah. I think that strengthens the lineup. Putting Tomasi, only a sophomore, but a power hitter, and one that is a very aggressive.
Well, Christian Bryant saved Sheridan's grandma in that one.
Swung on and dribbled, cued over to Hauk, and she misses it. Oh, and there was a half be a tag as she just nonchalantly picked it up and retires Tomasi. So no runs, and then as we move to the top of the second inning, there will be no score in this game. We'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Sugar Bears Softball is being brought to you by Ken Wilson Ford, Midwest Haywood, Champion Credit Union, American Pawn and Pickers, and B. Allen Construction.
American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking, we go to the greening. Mine, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and buy mining rings. We will loan you money or about buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking, go to the greening. 1116 Baton Avenue. Y'all come see us now here.
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union. I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Well, back at Diamond on the River Park, scoreless first inning, Chuck, and now the Bears are back out on defense, and let's see if we can get 1-2-3 out again.
Sarah Wood, Mahala Morris, and Selena McCaw scheduled up to face Callie Kirkendall. Wood will DH. I wonder if she's any relation to the Wood that used to coach at basketball at Tuscola and West Henderson.
I don't know.
Big swing and a miss on the first delivery. Looked like she took a little speed off her fastball.
Yeah.
Wood out in front. Came up empty, so it's 0-1.
And the way she's starting off pitching is a good sign for Pisgah.
Kirkendall ready to go. Here's her pitch. Curveball dribbled foul.
So quickly she's ahead 0-2.
But you know, first four batters, she's gotten ahead of all first four batters in this game. Whatever they've done, what adjustments they have made. And it may be taking her out of the four hole
mm-hmm.
and letting her concentrate on the pitching and not having her bat until later in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the recipe for success for Callie Kirkendall inside the circle. Because right away, you got to come up in the four hole and deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're down in the order. Don't worry about it. When you come up, there'll be some runners on. Let your hitters do your thing. You concentrate for an inning or two until you come to bat inside the circle. Next pitch is high, and that evens the count at 2-2. Just joined us. We're in the top of the second inning. West Henderson 0 and Pisgah 0. West Henderson at the bat. Sarah Wood, the designated hitter, has a 2-2 count. Sun coming out now, splashing all over the field. Swung on and right to Latrinko. And Presley tries to get there. Not in time. That went off Latrinko's glove. And that will be ruled an error on Latrinko. And Presley was there backing her up, grabbed it, and it was a race to first base, but Wood beat him there. And that'll bring up Mahala Morris, the catcher.
So Callie did her job. She put it in play.
That's all you do.
That's all you do.
Swung on and miss. High fastball. Just blew it by her. As a pitcher, that's all you do. You do your job out there inside the circle.
I had a coach tell me one time a pitcher got in inside that circle's got to have attitude.
Next pitch by Kirkendall is high and outside. Think about Kirkendall. She's not a swing and miss pitcher. When she throws something, they're going to hit it. So what you want to do is you got to be spot on and let them hit your pitches. And just like that, it was outside and dribbled to Latrinko. She just, was unfortunately didn't come up. Oh, she came inside on that and just blew it by her as Morris was way behind it. That makes the count at 1-2 to the right-hand hitting catcher from West Henderson. Kirkendall ready. Here's the pitch. Cold strike three. Struck her out.
And a quick throw to first by Mahala to try to catch Wood napping, but she didn't get her quite there.
And that's rare because in the last night she only had three strikeouts, but she didn't pick up her first strikeout until the fourth inning. And now this right here is a different Callie Kuykendall. Obviously, last night got her attention. That's going to bring up Selena McCall, the center fielder. She lays out a bunt. Kuykendall fields it, throws to Presley at first in time, and Presley tries to throw it to back behind it, but throws it away. But no runners advance as Michaela Tipton's there to back it up.
And that's one thing about the Bears defensively. They're always backing up a throw.
Now batting number 10, Vaughn Norris.
So hardly ever do you see them get extra bases from being out of position.
So Wood moves up to second base. That will bring up the number 7 hitter, Lauren Norris, the shortstop, who made a splendid play on the ball hit by Ashley Penland in the first inning. Swung on, popped up, infield, Presley's there, hauls it in with two hands, and that's all for the Falcons as they strand one runner at second base and fail to score. We move to the middle of the second inning in this scoreless game between the West Henderson and Pisco.
Well, it started out like this against them over at West. We had a scoreless until the bats woke up, and then we just kind of put it together. So,
but again, your analogy of this team is they, as an offensive team, have really start to gear it up when they've batted around the first time, when they've seen the pitcher.
They get their timing down on her pitches, and it's a timing issue with the Pisgah. It has been for the last, even when we won the state championship, the first two innings they were, struggling, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere. And you can ask Central Davis on that because we put 15 on them down there. It was amazing.
This game will humble you very quickly, and you really have to have the thin skin. And as we've said before, this is the only sport where to be very good, you've got to fail 6 out of 10 times.
And so we're going to have Latrinko, then Callie Kuykendall, then Mason McCracken, CC. And CC's bat needs to be in lineup. I'm sorry. Her bat needs to be in lineup.
CC DH'ing.
And she had a double last night, and not, sitting on the bench the whole night, and then she comes up in the top of the seventh and hits a double, leadoff double.
All right, that'll bring up Alex Latrinko playing first base. The first pitch is on the knees and out on the corner, and that's strike one to Alex Latrinko. Inside the circle for West Henderson is Brianna Morris. Wind's starting to kick up a lot now. Next pitch, curveball, got it over the plate. Good pitch by Morris, and that'll be strike two. 0-2 to Latrinko. We have a pair of good umpires in Bruce Stevenson out in the field and Mike Butchler out behind the plate. Got some of the best in this game. Swung on and hanging in there is Latrinko. She chips one off the fence.
She has to protect the plate now and be aggressive.
And I like about Butchler and Stevenson is they are veteran umpires. Know the game, let the kids play. Swung on right at the second baseman, short hops it, throws over to first to retire Latrinko. Nice play by Kelsey Walker. That was a funny play that she had an in-between hop. And so now that'll bring up Callie Kuykendall, the pitcher. And sometimes when your hitting goes away, and it does, and it will in a season, where you're just not, as a team, hitting the ball or getting the key hits with runners in scoring position, you always got to have the pitching and defense never go away.
That's exactly right.
Swung on and missed by Kelly Kuykendall, evens the count at 1-1. On deck, as Rhonda said, Mason McCracken. Swung on, lined, and curving foul off the 200, about 10 feet foul off the fence where the 200-foot marker. Boy, Kuykendall just put a charge into it.
I got a view down the third base line, and it kept curving and curving. I was going, oh, no, it's going to go foul.
This is a time right here where you may want to look off speed. Followed up by you just handled a nice fastball and an off-speed pitch, a changeup. Kuykendall laid off, evens the count at 2-2. panthers are strange animals, but they're creatures of habit, too.
They are.
Swung on, dribbled over to the third baseman of Wes Tennyson, over to first. Nice play. And Kirkendall is retired for out number two in this inning. And what I mean by creatures of habit, if you just tatered a fastball, you're not the next pitch. You're not going to see that same pitch.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, exactly right. You shouldn't.
If you call it again, that's bad coaching.
Mason McCracken is DHing. She'll be DHing for Taylor Gallion, who's playing center field, and first pitch to CeCe is outside for a ball.
Our little Dominican.
We love her. She just got that aggressive Dominican attitude when she gets a bat in her hand. Swung on, dribbled over to shortstop Kelsey Walker, comes up throwing and retired in 1-2-3 in the second. No runs, no hits, no errors. We'll move to the third. No score in this game. We'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Sugar Bear Softball is being brought to you by Midwest Haywood, Champion Credit Union, American Pawn and Pickers, B. Allen Construction, and Ken Wilson Ford. Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
Midwest Haywood will hold an American Red Cross blood drive on Friday, April 26th at the Midwest Health and Fitness Center in Clyde. The blood drive will take place from 9 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Register by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org and enter the code Midwest Haywood. Statistics show that only 3% of the population will donate blood. Show kindness to your neighbors by taking this opportunity to give. We know you've got it in you. Now back to Pisgah Black Bears girls varsity softball here on AM 920 WPTL. Here's Rhonda Bird and Chuck Fiebernitz.
Well, back at the Diamond on River Park, we're still in the scoreless game going into the top of the third, Chuck.
Good softball game as we expected through the first two frames. Kirkendall has what you call the no-no. Kayla Walker, Taylor Houck, and back to the top of the order, Kelsey Walker. So it'll be 8-9-1 scheduled to face Kirkendall here in the top of the third inning. As a sophomore gets ready and the first pitch is fouled into the dirt in front of Irvin, who scoops it up, but that was behind the plate. So that'll be strike one to Walker, the third baseman. On deck is Taylor Houck, the first baseman. Kirkendall sets, gets her sign. Here's the pitch. Change up, or looked like, was that change up a curve? It was off speed, and that was called a ball. 1-1.
Change up outside. She was trying to get her to chase it outside.
Kirkendall ready to go. Working quickly. Swung on, grounded over to Nadia Hudson at first. Throw over to Latrinko in time to get her out, says Bruce Stevenson. By a step, nice play by the sure-handed fielding shortstop, Nadia Hudson. So out number one, and now to bring up the number nine hitter, Taylor Houck.
Well, Pisgah's future shortstopper came by and seen me before the game. She's hobbling around with a boot cast on now, and it's good to see her getting around smiling.
First pitch, nice fastball, just missed inside and a little bit high, says Mike Butchler. You love the consistency of these umpires.
Mm-hmm.
And they are consistent. They do a good job. Next pitch, swung on, dribbled over to Tabassi. That's a rocket over there. She throws her out. That's an out. That's an out before we even see her field.
Now, you noticed last night, and I don't know if it was me. Maybe it was me, Chuck, but I noticed last night when she was fielding, she didn't have the velocity on the throws from third. Was it the weather?
Hmm?
Ball, wet?
No, it was wet, and you're fielding a ball that's wet and muddy, and so you just want to make sure you put a good throw over there as Kelsey Walker, the leadoff hitter, gets to the plate. Phones are ringing everywhere. I forget to silence mine. So, first pitch is a ball to Miss Walker. swung on and missed. Fastball knee high. She just got the gas to it.
That was a beautiful pitch.
As they say in the minor leagues, that pitcher had some giddy up to that pitch. So pitch of 1-1 with two outs here in the top of the third. Next pitch. Swung on and right back at Kirkendall. She just scoops that up, throws to Latrinko. That's all for the Falcons. Retired again. 1-2-3. That's the third consecutive inning. And so we move to the middle of the third inning with no score in this game.
Callie Kirkendall is pitching superb. Everything is either grounder or strikeout. And you can't ask for anything else.
This is probably the best I've seen Callie Kirkendall throw at the beginning of the game. And I got to believe that you move her out of the four hole and put what I think is the natural four cleanup hitter on this team, Shelby Tomasi, in that four hole, and you move Kirkendall down to the six hole, it's almost you take the offensive pressure off of her and you say, just focus on the mound. And by the time you're going to, chances are you may be through the second inning before you come to the plate.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're going to have runners on and just have a little fun. But we want you inside the circle doing your job. And that move today may be the reason why she's pitching the way she's pitching right now.
Maybe. And she's probably a little teed at her performance last night. And she's
good for her.
You know, she's that way. She's really competitive.
And that's where competitive ball players are supposed to be. It's hard to let it go.
Yeah, and you have a bad performance, you want to come out the next time, and then.
That's why I love playing back to back. In case you have a night like Sheridan Presley, I told Sheridan I struck out 6 times out of 7 in a doubleheader. You don't have anything on me. Michaela Tipton up. First pitch is a ball. Tipton batting in the 8-hole, playing left field, will be followed by number 9 hitter Nadia Hudson, the shortstop. And then back to the order, top of the order, as the first pitch is swung on and missed by Tipton, as she bailed out on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that she's had some laser eye surgery, and that's not been successful. She's really struggling with her eyes right now.
She is, and I feel so sorry for her being a senior, and she really looked forward to this year.
Well, she was part of the Thumpers last year, the 2-5 that had 40 home runs. Swung on, popped up, lifted, deep right field, could get in the hole.
Oh.
Nice running play catch by Selena McCall as she ran all the way from the shaded to for pulling to left center, all the way to right center, and caught it on a dead run at the warning track. So that's out number one on a long flyout by Tipton.
I thought it was gone.
And that'll bring up Nadia Hudson. You did.
I did.
Hudson bailing out. Noticed in the last game last night, a lot of footwork. You know, you got to stay quiet. Your feet got to stay quiet in the box, and there was a lot of bailing and moving feet. Again, Hudson bailing out again, takes a pitch outside for a ball. It's 1-1. Once you bail, you lose all your power. Your bat decelerates. Swung on and missed a curveball. Hudson came up empty. Always learn three things in hitting is that when you bail, your bat has deceleration. When you dip the back shoulder, your bat will decelerate. Swung on and grounded over to the third base when comes up and throws a strike over to first to retire Hudson. Two up, two down here in the bottom of the third. And the other one is if you hit the ball outside your front plant foot, you know, where you want to hit it on the inside part, you know, even with your inside arch. And if you get it out, your bat starts to decelerate as it goes past your arch of your front foot. So you know those three things. You can correct yourself inside the box. Ashley Penland up. First pitch, called strike. Painted that outside corner with a fastball. Penland had started this season hot, cooled off a little in the last couple of games, but still has not taken the big sombrero, the collar. He's picked up a hit last night, started the game off with a bloop single. So here's the 1-1 pitch outside for ball, 2-1.
She's a very good leadoff hitter for Serena. She's quick, too.
Good hands, followed by Sheridan Presley. just missed outside. So Brianna Moore is trying to pick away at that outside corner. Just missing, says Mike Butchler. Count is in favor of the hitter at 3-1. Here's her 3-1 pitch. Fastball swung on, lifted up inside the infield. Shortstop Warren Norris calls that in. That's all for Pisgah. All of a sudden, the silence of this thump, the thump may have been gone.
Yeah.
So that's all. We'll be back for the top of the fourth. No score in this ballgame.
This broadcast of Pisgah Sugar Bears softball is being brought to you by American Pond and Pickers, B. Allen Construction, Ken Wilson Ford, MedWest Haywood, and Champion Credit Union.
American Pond and Pickers, and we do the picking,
go to the grinning.
Buying, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and diamond rings. We will loan you money or about buy most anything. American Pond and Pickers, when we do the picking. Go to the grinning, 1116 Patton Avenue. Y'all come see us now, you hear?
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union. I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Well, back at the ballpark here in the top of the fourth inning, still a scoreless game, Chuck, and we've only got two hits in this game. Mahala Irvin and
Brianna Morris.
I mean, it's been pitcher's duel.
No runs, no hits, and no errors. And one runner left on base for West Henderson. Pisco, no runs, two hits, one error, and one runner left on base. It's a line score so far as the first hitter is Lauren Koontz, the left fielder, and she swings and misses at a low fastball. Next pitch, line, and there goes the no-hitter as Koontz hits one past Tipton to the wall, and that will be at least a double as she pulls up at second with a stand-up two-bagger. Well, she jumped on that pitch.
She did. And as tall as Tomasi is at third, it was over her head. So there was no way she could have got it.
So Tipton couldn't get over there to get it, and that's going to bring up Brianna Morris, the pitcher. Kirkendall ready to go. Here's her pitch. Popped up infield. Nadia camps underneath that, and that's a big out right there to get one out.
Without advancing a runner, huge.
Nice pitch by 11, Kirkendall. Wood. She just threw a nice little wrinkle, took a little speed off, and got Morris out on her front foot. Now to bring up Sarah Wood, who reached base on a error by first baseman Alex Trinko, and that's the only base runner up to this inning when Koontz hit that double. Top of the fourth, no score between West Henderson and homestanding Pisgah. And the first pitch is off the foot of Wood, who's DHing today for West Henderson.
Pitching her inside on her hands so that if she does get anything, it's going to be a roller or a pop-up.
Taylor Gallion was overshaded slightly to right field. Now he's shading slightly to left field for the right-hand hitting cleanup hitter, Sarah Wood. Here's Kirkendall's 0-1 pitch. Just missed outside. 1-1. West Henderson has their runner at second base. Wood, this hitter that reached first on an error in the second, got to second base. And that was where she ended. Next pitch is low for a ball. 2-1. One out in the top of the fourth, no score.
Dangerous hitter here, and Callie's trying to be very careful.
Wood now chokes up on the bat, looking for just placement right now. Pitch is low for a ball, 3-1. So Kirkendall started Wood off with a strike and then has thrown three consecutive balls, and all of them have been of low variety, just off the ground. Anything to worry about around her?
She just don't want to put it up because she's a big hitter. You don't want to put it up in her wheelhouse. She can knock it out of the ballpark.
Next pitch stays low, and then she rips that, but foul as she got it on the end of the bat. Didn't really hit it solid. And you're right, Ron. She didn't hit that solid, but that came off her bat. You know, she was late. She allowed that ball to get in on her
and
get behind her.
I think the deal last night when Bishop hit that home run and she left it hanging is in Callie's memory bank. She don't want to give the big hitter nothing that they can put out.
3-2 count coming. Here's the pitch. Foul back. And you're right, Rhonda. For an inning and a half after Caitlin Bishop hit that two-run blast, Kirkendall was a different pitcher. She settled down, got a pat on the back, got talked to by Serena Goodwin, and she just buckled down and became a good pitcher again. But that's young. That's what youth, as you said, that it's like EKGs. Swung on and dribbled over to Massey. She'll get plenty of time as she throws a strike over to Latrinko, who holds the ball as Kuntz on the throw advances to third base. So Tomasi makes another great play on a slow roller to get out number two. And I bring up the catcher, Mahala Morris. Struck out her last time up. Two outs, runner on third, top of fourth, no score. Pitches low for a ball.
And that's the problem with youth. And Pisgah's got a lot of youth on this team. If you look at it out in the field, you got two seniors only playing.
Just three. Missed inside.
Three, excuse me. I forgot Taylor out there. The rest of them are sophomores.
Nadia Hudson.
Sophomore.
Tomasi's a sophomore. Junior Presley. Junior Latrinko. So the left side of the infield, sophomores. Right side is juniors. Called strike, nice pitch, fastball, got the corner. She painted that corner and had it knee high, right where you want it.
And that's, you know, and you look at the bench play, it's a lot of sophomores, and this sophomore program is going to be strong the next couple of years.
Next pitch, swung on and missed, blew it by her. 2-2 count. Last night I was showing you that low outside pitch. They put up that diagram of, you know, of eight boxes or nine boxes inside a hitter's box for Miguel Cabrera. All those gaudy numbers. 147 on the low and outside pitch. Swung on and dribbled over. Tomasi comes up, throws a strike, and that's all. Big play as Tomasi gets the last two outs, and Pisgah strands a runner. And we move to the bottom of the fourth inning, no score with Pisgah coming to bat.
So that big double there in that inning didn't even hurt us. So that's good that Callie settled down. She was careful in her pinch. Something that I think that they've talked about since last night. Being careful with your pitch selection against heavy hitters. You can't just leave them hanging like against Caitlin Bishop last
right.
time. So be careful with your pitch selection. Be careful with your pitch placement against heavy hitters. And try to get ahead in the count. Maybe that's some of the things that they discussed last night. So, you know.
Sometimes you move in this game of softball and baseball, and they're really there's a little, you know, nuances and idiosyncrasies of the games that are different. You know, those little things are, you know, there's some differences. But for the most part, this game is played the same way. And, you know, you can be cruising along and you start thinking, man, we're hitting the ball well. And everybody starts, you know, your team's just, you know, hot bats everywhere.
Yeah.
You can lose focus that you never, you know, you can lose focus of your defense and pitching has gotten you in that position, not your offense.
Right.
And a day like today, Brianna Morris may not be the best pitcher, but she's making great pitches. So she's become a great pitcher today because she's making the pitches. Well, the lead off the bottom of the fourth inning, Sheridan Presley, and my point is that you always focus on your defense and pitching and the hitting, you know, because when it goes away, you got to rely on that defense and pitching.
Yeah.
You got to be accustomed to it. Morris' first pitch is high to Presley for a ball. Presley grounded out a nice sharp one hopper to the first baseman Taylor Houck. Here's the pitch. Called strike on the outside part of the plate.
And Sheridan's grandma made us a good surprise today. She made us a dessert called Sinful. Or Sin. And I told you I'm going to find out how sinful it is.
Pitches outside, 2-1. So Presley, ahead in the count, had one of those nights, as we said before, that you just let it go. High and then tight, backed her up, but that's ball three. As Morris, painting the outside corner, just coming back her up, you probably, when that happens, start looking out away from yourself. See, it's a purpose pitch. So looking for that fastball out and away. She gets it and pops it up straight inside where the circle is as the pitcher, Brianna Morris, hauls that in. So Presley is the first out in this inning on a pop-up to the pitcher, Brianna Morris.
And she knew that was coming outside. Presley did. She's smart enough. She moved up in the box.
Lunging out after it. And that happens sometimes. You just got to have patience. You see, and you just don't let that ball get in on you. You know, use your hands. And you're just, when you're hitting so good, you become over-anxious. Swung on, lifted, left field. Not deep enough. That's going to be backing up the left fielder, Laurel Kuntz, back to the warning track, and she hauls that in to retire Irvin, swinging on the first pitch again. Number 13, and that's a good point, as Irvin dipped her back shoulder to try and get that lift on it, and you don't want to lift on a pitch, but when you dip that back shoulder, the bat decelerates. You don't have great bat speed on it, and you're muscling the ball. And I bring up Shelby Tomasi. Swing on, lined, picked up, and that's passed the shortstop, so that'll be a base hit for Tomasi. Shortstop Lauren Norris reached for, but couldn't come up with it. So Tomasi with a two-out single, and that'll bring up Alex Latrinko.
That was a good hit. It was hit hard last night. She hit it hard, but it would die like that, and she couldn't get on base. And today, the ground try, it was going.
Trinkle takes first pitch outside for a ball. No runs here in the bottom of the fourth. No runs on one hit, no errors, and two runners left on base for West Henderson. As the next pitch is in the dirt. Nice block. Throw over to first, not in time. Nice block by the catcher, Michaela Morris.
And, you know, and you're wondering how much energy did Brianna Morris have to expend last night against Inca.
Swung on, and that is to the third baseman. Nice pickup. Throw to first, and that's all. So Piskus retired, stranding one runner. We move to the top of the fifth. No score in this game. We'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Piskus Sugar Bears softball is being brought to you by Champion Credit Union, American Pawn and Pickers, B. Allen Construction, Ken Wilson Ford, and MedWest Haywood.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
MedWest Haywood will hold an American Red Cross blood drive on Friday, April 26th at the MedWest Health and Fitness Center in Clyde. The blood drive will take place from 9 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Register by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org and enter the code MedWest Haywood. Statistics show that only 3% of the population will donate blood. Show kindness to your neighbors by taking this opportunity to give. We know you've got it in you.
Now back to Pisgah Black Bears girls varsity softball here on AM 920 WPTL. Here's Rhonda Bird and Chuck Fiebernitz.
Well, we're back at the ballpark at the Diamond on the River. We still got a scoreless game going in the top of the fifth, Chuck, and it looks like both this is going to end up being a pitching duel game.
That may be true. We thought that last night.
Yeah, we did.
Somebody might break it out. So here in the top of the fifth inning, Selena McCall, Norris, and Walker, 6, 7, and 8, scheduled up to face Kirkendall. First pitch, called strike, got the inside part. Boy, she brought the heater with her. A lot of zeros on the scoreboard, on the line score. No runs have been scored in this game, and we're already into the fifth. Swung on, grounded over to Presley, picks it up, has trouble with it, throw to first, and it's dropped by Latrenko as she's going to get her second error in the game.
Now batter number 10, Lauren North.
So the leadoff hitter gets on base by an error by Latrenko. Presley bobbled it, but got the ball there just in the nick of time, but Latrenko hit off the edge of her glove and dropped to the ground, allowing Morris as she squares around the bunt, and that will be Lauren Norris, the shortstop, but she came up empty on it, fouling it into the dirt for strike one. So Mike Matthews planning to go small ball, try to move the runner over into better scoring position as we move in into the latter innings of this ball game. 0-0, West Henderson Pisgah. Pitch popped up. Nice pickup by Tomasi, and nobody has any room, and nobody's covering third. But there's a throw by Tomasi in time to retire. Tomasi came up, saw the runner, thought nobody was there, and give Michaela Tipton the gold star of the day. And she came from left field to cover third, and Tomasi threw a strike, nailing McCall at third, out number one, and West Henderson's back with a runner on first base.
That was huge right there.
So that'll go as a single with 5-7 in your scores book for out number one. Great job by Tomasi and Tipton. Grounder over Tomasi, how better fitting. She throws to Presley for one over to first, not in time. So the lead runner is retired, and how fitting is it that Tomasi gets it? I'm telling you, that was heads up. Tomasi diving. It was like a jam pile out in front of home plate, and Tomasi was pulling everybody off on her and looked through the legs of Kirkendall and saw that McCall was going from first, rounded second, and thought nobody was covering third base, and Tipton ran in and covered it, and that's a big play for the Black Bears. As the first pitch to Kayla Walker is Taylor Hawk, the number nine hitter, is a strike.
It looked like I-240 in Asheville with all of them piled up right at home plate.
Absolutely. Curveball in the dirt, swung on and missed. Boy, I tell you what, that splits the mind of any good hitter. Something like that that just comes in that hard and just has a bite to it. And that's what Kirkendall threw in baseball. They call that a slider. That's a breaking ball, and Kirkendall really threw a good one.
No, actually, yeah.
Pitch on. Come strike three. She stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. And that's all for the Falcons here in the top of the fifth. As they get no run, strand one runner, we move to the bottom of the fifth. No score in this game, Rhonda.
And that could be that play at home plate where it was popped straight up. You had three players converging. You had Callie Kirkendall. You had Mahala Irvin and Tomasi all converging. They all run into each other. Tomasi's laying on the ground. She has the ball trapped under her like a football, loose football. She gets up and she throws it down to third base to Michaela Tipton for the out. That was huge right there, and that could be what the spark is that the Bears need. Their offense sparks from their defense. So that was a heck of a defensive play, folks. Chuck and I can sit here and tell you what it looked like to us, but it's hard to explain.
Well, it's called baseball savvy, baseball intellect. Shelby Tomasi has it. Michaela Tipton has it. I mean, you can find so many times in watching softball, the left fielder standing there like she had purchased a ticket watching the game. But Tipton involved herself, saw the base open, and came in running in. It wasn't like she saw the runner at second rounding. She was already on the move. Baseball instinct. Tomasi knew she could not. She looked up and knew she couldn't get that runner at first and instantly was trying to look to see where that runner was at second. And when she saw her moving and motoring to third base, she came up on her knees and threw a strike.
I know. She's strong. She is super strong up top.
Well, Callie Kirkendall, McCracken, and then Tipton are scheduled up here to face Brianna Morris. The pitcher, first pitch, swung on and popped up in the infield as Kirkendall Oh, boy, it was almost a collision between the shortstop, Lauren Norris, and the second baseman, Kelsey Walker. But Welcher catches that ball right in between the circle and second base.
That's the second time the shortstop's nearly been run into.
That's one out here in the fifth. That's going to bring up Mason McCracken. The bats are silenced again for the second night in a row. Swung on and grounded to deep short. Nice play by Kelsey Walker. Throws over to first in time. It's a nice stretch by Taylor Hawk at first base to retire Mason McCracken for out number two. And that's going to bring up Michaela Tipton.
Which nearly hit it out of the ballpark. The first time she's a bat, I thought it was gone.
Tipton, as Rama said, just flew out to deep center field, swings at the first pitch, and throws, and that ball's in the dirt, and that gets away, so that is an error, as an errant throw by the third baseman, Kayla Walker. So Tipton reaches first on an error, two-out error, throwing error, and that'll bring up Nadia Hudson, the number nine hitter. One of the things is that the first ball swinging, now the first two, you've got to take a pitch. And that third hitter, Furton, is the first pitch to Nadia Hudson, is outside. And, Tipton was swinging at the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. I mean, you don't want to do that, but you got to play smart baseball, too. Caught the corner for a strike called by Mike Butcher, the first home plate umpire. Excuse me. So, two outs. Change up, Hudson way out. She's just a weak swing. Had no idea. Just made a decision she was going to swing, and Brianna Morris just threw a nice pitch. And you got to give that young girl credit inside the circle for West Henderson. She's pitched a whale of a game so far. Swung on, lifted, right to the second baseman. Snow coned it, and that's all for the Black Bears. In the bottom of the fifth, they strand a runner. We move to the top of the sixth. No score between West Henderson and Pisgah. We'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Sugar Bears Softball is being brought to you by B. Allen Construction, Ken Wilson Ford, Midwest Haywood, Champion Credit Union, and American Pawn and Pickers.
American Pawn and Pickers, and we do the picking, go to the grinning. Buying, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us, or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, diamond rings. We will loan you money, or buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking. Who's grinning? 1116 Baton Avenue. Y'all come see us now. You here?
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union. I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
AM 920 is WPTL. Canton.
It's Kelsey Walker.
Well, welcome back, folks. We're still in a top of the sixth inning. We're still in a scoreless game. Pitching duel going on here, and great defensive play by Pisgah, keeping runners from scoring, Chuck.
Well, it has been a great pitching duel, as both pitchers, Brianna Morris and Callie Kirkendall, are hurling two hitters. No runs, two hits, one error for West Henderson. No runs, swung off her foot, foul. And it's no runs, two hits, and two errors for Pisgah in this game. So similar scores, line scores in this, is the leadoff hitter for West Henderson is the top of the order. Kelsey Walker has an 0-1 count. She took a big swing and fouled it off her foot as manager Mike Matthews comes down to check on her and see if she's all right. Here's the pitch, high, outside. Hung in her hand a little too long. Nice crowd, late arriving crowd here at the Diamonds on the River Complex in Canton, North Carolina. Pitch, just missed on the inside part, pushed it inside. Tried to get a little screwball action to it. Two balls, one strike to leadoff hitter Kelsey Walker here in the in the top of the sixth. Swung on and dribbled over to Tomasi. She just gobbles that up. You can give her the name Hoover on that. She's like a vacuum down there.
She is. Everything in that area, you could just forget it. And she has such a strong arm, she throws it to first in plenty of time.
Well, she's got a catcher's arm, and she'll go behind the plate probably next year. Mm-hmm. She's waiting for her time. She's an outstanding catcher, but she's a skilled player. But it's her soft hands and her glove. And when you're fearless down there, no matter how hard it's hit, a curveball and the next hitter, Laura Koontz, absolutely just missed it by about a foot, had no idea what happened there. Popped up, giving chase is Tomasi and Nadia Hudson, but that's out of play.
If it's inside the ballpark on that side, I think it. I'll put money on Tomasi.
Seven putouts for Tomasi in this game. She's had a lot of action down there at the hot corner. So Kirkendall's got the number two hitter in the lineup and the number two batter in this inning, Laurel Koontz, in a hole 0-2. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled out of play. On deck, the pitcher for West Henderson, Brianna Morris. Koontz has a double in the fourth. That's one of the two hits that the Falcons have in this game. Ready to go, Kirkendall. Here's her pitch. Curveball in the dirt, skipped it up there. Koontz had nothing to do with it, Rhonda.
She's just trying to give her something else to look at. You got your head in the count, throw some garbage.
Ready to go with the 1-2 pitch. Here it is. Fastball past her. Just got a piece of it as she fouled it off. Laura Koontz hanging in there. Just got a piece and tipped over the glove of Irvin and back to the backstop.
And that was, ball had some heat on it.
What does she bring now? Fastball in the dirt inside, but skipped it up there out in front of the plate. Now to even the count at 2-2. Top of six, no score. Good defensive battle. Swung out and missed. Struck her out. So Koontz K's here for the second out in the top of the six. And that'll bring up the number three hitter, Brianna Morse. 0-2 in the game.
Number 15, Brianna Morris.
Wind gusting out to left. Can't make a mistake. Is in the corner in the knee-high pitch. Good pitch by Kirkendall. 0-1.
No, we can't make a mistake in pitching. It's,
you get that up in that jet stream,
yeah.
Rhonda. Look at that flag out there.
Yeah, it's blowing hard now.
Just missed outside. 1-1. The inning ended with Nadia Hudson, so we go to the top of the order. Let's hope this wind stays. If we can retire Morris, the wind stays gusting because Irvin will have a shot with the third hitter. Swung on, grounded over to Nadia. She scoops it up, throws over to Latrinko in time, and that's all for West Henderson here in the top of the sixth. 1-2-3, the Falcons go. We move to the middle of the sixth with no score in this ball game.
Now look, the wind will start dying as soon as our girls come up to bat.
Dadgummit.
That's just the way it goes, folks. You can hear the wind blowing on our mics because we're on an outside booth here, broadcast booth, and it's starting to pick up now. So
I want the top of the order coming up with the wind gusting out from home plate to left center field. And you've got two table setters leading off from the left-hand side, Ashley and Penland and Sheridan Preston. But you've got Tomasi, you know, Irvin and Tomasi, 3-4.
I like that lineup, Irvin, Tomasi, back-to-back.
You're in the six. We get warm. We
because
can
you can't pitch around Irvin to get to Cali Kirkendall the way it was before because you got Tomasi coming up right behind her that's batting just as hot as anybody on the team. So you can't, it's like the Detroit Tigers. You can't pitch around Miguel Cabrera because you got Prince Fielder right behind him.
Well, it just the move made, and Tomasi has a hit, and Irvin has a hit, and so they Pisco only has two hits, and they're by the 3 and 4 hitters. Mm-hmm. But we said that a couple weeks ago. We really would like to see Tomasi go to cleanup mm-hmm. and move Callie down, but Tomasi was just more of a natural cleanup hitter yeah. behind Irvin.
Yeah.
All right, it's going to be Ashley Penland, Sheridan Presley, Mahala Irvin scheduled up here in the bottom of the sixth inning against Morris, and the first pitch to Penland's low for a ball.
So Tomasi could be our fielder Cabrera.
All I know is she can play the hot corner. That pitch is low and outside, 2-0 to Penland. Oh, you mean the Cabrera, the
yeah.
big hitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, she could be the. She could be Miggy. That's her nickname, Miggy.
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 We gonna start calling her Miggy.
That's her nickname, Miggy. I didn't like Sparkles. I didn't like that.
Shiny shoe.
No, didn't like that either. So but three Miggy. Balls, no strikes to Penland, taken all the way.
But she's a big Braves fan.
I'll change her to a Tiger fan. Quickly. Here's the pitch. Strike right down the middle of the plate, so it's 3-1 to Ashley Penland. Was taken all the way. Sheridan Presley's on deck. 0-0, bottom of six.
Needs to get somebody on base.
Absolutely. Penland, here's pitch swung on and blooped into center field. That's going to be down for a single. Penland starts to set the table as Sheridan Presley has got her signal from Walt Leatherwood. You'll probably see them go to the small game to move the runner over. Irvin on deck, Presley at the plate, Penland at first, after she singled to center.
And Mahala Irvin walked Sheridan Presley all the way to the batter's box, telling her, you know, smiling, laughing with her, and telling her, you know, and here comes Walt. Walt's more the batting coach.
Well, there's time as the Falcons gather inside the circle as the whole infield catcher with Brianna Morris. They are all planning how to play the bunt. Could Walt cross them up here?
Oh, Sheridan Presley's not going to bunt. There ain't no way. Not with no outs. No. You want to lay money on it right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's going to bunt.
Soda. She's not going to bunt. Soda, she's not going to bunt.
All right, we'll see in a minute. I might have to hold a soda, and there you go, the bunt. I know how to play this game, girl. When it's 0-0, you go get that runner over in scoring position. I don't care if you got the number 4 hitter. If Biggie's up, you're bunting.
Dadgummit.
So Presley fouls off the first pitch. Bumped it foul. It was a rolled foul. And she does it again and lays off of it. Ball one. 1-1. Laid off the high pitch.
Oh, well. So, Adlord, I guess I owe you a drink now because I did not think Walt would have her bump. I swear. Here, I got a sip of something.
All right, here's the 1-1 pitch. Squares around, lays it out in front of Morris, throws over to first base, and that advances. So a sacrifice bump by Sheridan Presley is out number one, but she gets Penland over to second. Now that puts pressure on West Henderson. Do you walk to face Tomasi or Miggy?
Miggy. That's what they're going to go discuss
now.
Yeah,
they're going to discuss another one. So, Irvin's
she's been walked more
in.
This year yeah. than Forrest Gump running in the movie.
Well, Mike Matthews is going to come out there, and he's looking over on deck to see if Miggy is who the batter is, and he sees Miggy. You got to pick your poison right now.
Yeah.
Walt's talking to Miggy with Irvin talking over here to Serena Goodwin at first base, and so she gets a pat on the helmet as the conclave inside the circle breaks up.
Did we get white smoke?
Not white smoke. It's dark black smoke still. Pope hasn't been picked yet, so it'll be Irvin. Open base. Here's the pitch. First pitch. Got the outside part of the plate. Little pitch to her, looks like. So Irvin taken off away, saw the pitch. Brianna Morris, here's the pitch. Way outside, maybe not. One of those intentional, unintentional walks.
Yeah, they're not going to give her anything that she can put in the... If it gets in the center, it's an accident.
Here's the next pitch. Way outside again. Curveball. Giving her nothing. So it's going to be two balls, one strike. So it's going to be on the shoulders of Miggy Tomasi.
I like it, Miggy Tomasi.
Oh, no. Ball low, 3-1. Tomasi may not know.
And
but
all the balls have been outside.
I'm going to go give her a Miguel Cabrera baseball card and tell her that she reminds me of Miggy. His nickname's Miggy. She'll probably look at me crazy. Outside, ball four, walked her.
Well,
so the unintentional intentional walk is completed.
We knew that was coming.
And it'll be now Shelby Tomasi, third baseman.
This is her time to be Miggy.
Miggy at the plate. Ready to go. Brianna Morris facing Miggy. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Over to third. Steps on, and that's all as they try to throw. And there goes Irvin over to third. She slides in. Safe. Heads up base running by Irvin. And she never stopped around second, waiting for the third baseman to throw to first to try and get Tomasi. And so now we have runners at third, first and third.
With two outs.
And that's Alex Latrinko on another conclave. This one just between catcher and pitchers. They want to know how to pitch Alex Latrinko. So one simple flare, a bloop, a sing-eye single through the hole can get the go-ahead run here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Two outs, runners on the corners. Here's Latrinko on the pitch. First pitch is outside.
And Irvin is like a cat on a prowl. She is down in a stance. She's watching the catcher. If she even bobbles a ball, she's going to try to make a home.
Heads up base running has gotten us in this position of one to first to third. Swung on, grounder. Bobble first, picked up over to first in time to get Latrinko, and that's all for Pisgah. As they strand a runner, we move to the top of the seventh. We're still scoreless here at the Diamonds on the River Complex. We'll be back after these messages.
This broadcast of Sugar Bear Softball is being brought to you by Midwest Haywood, Champion Credit Union, American Pawn and Pickers, B. Allen Construction, and Ken Wilson Ford.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
Midwest Haywood will hold an American Red Cross blood drive on Friday, April 26th at the Midwest Health and Fitness Center in Clyde. The blood drive will take place from 9 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Register by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org and enter the code Midwest Haywood. Statistics show that only 3% of the population will donate blood. Show kindness to your neighbors by taking this opportunity to give. We know you've got it in you. Now back to Pisgah Black Bears girls varsity softball here on AM 920 WPTL. Here's Rhonda Bird and Chuck Fiebernitz.
Well, back here at the park, Diamond on the River, we got a scoreless game going in top of the seventh. Pisgah had a chance to get on the board and just couldn't quite get that run across, Chuck.
Well, I tell you what. Is that they had the chance, first and third.
They had the chance, two outs, first and third. They had they had runners on first and second with one out, and then a little Tomasi hit into the third base for an easy tag, but she beat it out at first. But
well, it'd be 4-5-6 here in the top of the seventh inning. Sarah Wood, Michaela Morris, and Selena McCall for Wes Tennyson to face Kelly Kirkendall.
So here's big hitter. Start off. And let's see if Kelly pitches her, you know, focus again. Like we say, don't give her anything that she can hurt you with.
Kirkendall ready to go. Wood steps in. Here's the first pitch. Swung on, grounded, passed, Nice dive, but Presley flips it over to Lotrinco, who cannot come up with it. That'll be an infield single, as Presley just laid out and tried to throw it from her, laying prone on her belly.
Laying on her belly, and she couldn't get enough up on it to get it cleanly to Lotrinco. And Lotrinco tried to snag it, but it just fell out of her glove.
Great defensive attempt by Presley. I bring up Mahala Morris, and she's going to bunt. You know that. No, she's not. And she's going to swing away. So you live by the sword, you're going to die by that sword. You're in the top of the seventh in a scoreless ball game. Your leadoff hitter gets on. I think Mike Matthews is telling her. I'm not giving you a sign. I'm telling you, bunt.
We'll see.
Maybe not. She might have the green light to swing, and she does. Swings over to Hudson, picks it up, throws a pressure for one, over to first, and tied, double play!
Oh, my gosh, what a double play. I'm telling you right now, that was awesome, because Nadia Hudson was on her knees when she snagged it, backhanded it, had to turn around, throw it to second, and then Sheridan quickly got it out of her glove to first.
Quickly erased as the base runner, as Hudson to Presley to Lotrinco, and now there's two outs, and that'll bring up Selena McCall. What a play by Hudson. She falls as McCall fouls that back into the screen.
I mean, she was literally on her knees, backhanded it. Had to turn around and throw it to second quickly.
But nice turn out of Presley at the two back. I mean, see, that ball didn't stay in her glove long. She just wheeled. She didn't even know. If that girl wasn't sliding, it would have been right into the forehead. Presley didn't care. She whirled and threw a strike over to Lotrinco, and Lotrinco stretched. Boy, they got benefited from Morris, the catcher, not having a lot of speed. As the next pitch to McCall is a ball, so it's 1-1. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled down the third baseline. What a play by the middle infielders. So Nadia Hudson starts it.
We got
gets Kirkendall out of a jam.
Got a score from up on Thomas Wells Park. West is on top of Pisgah 3-1 in the third, and Garrett Holland hit a home run.
And that is hit off the hands, foul. Lands right in front of the West Henderson dugout. As Lotrinco gave chase, but wasn't hit high enough. So that'll make the count 1-2, or remain 1-2, here in the top of the seventh inning, nobody on. And Pisgah and West Henderson locked in a scoreless battle. Swung on, popped up, Presley camps underneath it. That's all! So West Henderson's out, and so it'll be the bats for the Black Bears as we move to the bottom of the seventh. No score in this ball game.
You know, after that double play, I'm telling you, Sheridan Presley and Tomasi, defensively, are probably the best two infielders I've seen in a long time here at Pisgah. They are both tremendous in their positions.
Well, it's looking ahead now, it'll be Kirkendall, McCracken, and Tipton. We're going to go to the bottom of the order. 6, 7, and 8 are scheduled up to face Brianna Morris. And you got to give both pitchers here. Brianna Morris has just pitched a gem, and she has been matched by Callie Kirkendall. Line score going into the bottom of the seventh. West Henderson has one run on three hits and one error.
Chuck's paper, score paper blew away. We're trying to get it. Run it down. So, we're having all kinds of problems with this wind.
All right. There you go. I'll hold it down. Got this falling down. All right, we're ready to go. Conference inside the circle. Callie Kirkendall, 0-2, will lead it off, followed by Mason McCracken and Michaela Tipton. Bottom of seven, no score. Thanks, folks. Mom is giving me a paperweight.
Got to do something with the wind around here. But we need to get some bats going. Callie needs to get on. Mason McCracken's got a good bat. We can get somebody to get going.
Here's the first pitch. Change up outside. Ball one.
Oh, we're not swinging the first pitch this time.
Maybe taking a strike. Good idea there. Rhonda told you over at the Charles Thomas Wells Baseball Complex, West Henderson leads Pisgah 3-1, but Garrett Holland hit a home run. Lifted deep center field.
And at the wall, he's off the wall. This could be extra bases. A stand-up double, leadoff double by Kuykendall. That was at the 210 marker. And center fielder, Selena McCall, reached up and went off her wall and off her glove. And so Kuykendall gets a double to start the seventh. And that'll bring up Mason McCracken.
First time we've had a lead runner to second base in this game.
Bottom of seventh, no score. Leadoff runner at second. That's Kuykendall. She represents the winning run here. Boy, she missed a home run for about 4 feet.
Well, that's two today that we've missed.
Yeah.
Tipton missed one by about the same amount.
We got to go plug the bats or something like that.
We need
that.
To move the fence in about 4 feet.
Probably like the T.C.
Robertson, yeah, they got that short field. We got regulation college length, and they've got high school, middle school.
They got the Izzy length.
Well, you know, you look at Franklin's field last night. They have a short field, too, because that's a middle school field.
I always get cautious of programs. Well, it's at the middle school, but they put the whole complex there.
Yeah.
But I always get cautious is that you don't put the marker up how far you are away from home plate.
Yeah, that tells your program don't want you to know.
How far is that fence? You know?
We've got it clearly marked here, 200 to both poles and 210 to center.
Well, there's a big conclave. No pope has been elected. Mike Butcher's standing there, and Mike Matthews is trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And so there's a breakup.
Yeah.
They figured out how they're going to play this. He wanted to know, if they bunt, this is what we do. If she swings away, this is what we do. Always check your lead runner.
She's not going to bunt.
Okay, here we go. Swung on. That was called strike right on the corner.
I told you you wasn't going to bunt.
Well, that's not double or nothing.
Oh, I should have doubled or nothing? Okay. Yeah. She's too good a hitter to take the bat out of my hand.
Here we go. Next, and she squares around. Legs went out. Beautiful bunt. Morris throws over to retire McCracken. And so an excellent play put on by Walt Leatherwood and Serena Goodwin as Mason McCracken bunted on the second pitch and moves Kuykendall over. Don't mess with me. I know when they're bunting.
Well, and I think it's a great play by Walt because the first pitch she didn't show bunt. The second pitch she put bunt, and they had to really charge the bases from the second and third.
So Walt's telling Callie Kuykendall over at third that the infield will be playing in. You have to see, depending on where it's hit. Michaela Tipton is up at the plate. She's 0-for-2. She almost hit a home run, as Rhonda said, in the third inning. That was at the right center field at the fence.
The sack fly gets a game.
Right.
Wins a game.
We don't care. We need something out to the outfield.
If she hits one deep again, it's ball game. Because
I like this right here with Walt chit-chatting.
Callie out there dancing on the
first. All right.
It's good to see the kids have fun while they're playing.
No score, bottom of seventh. Winning run at third base. That's Callie Kuykendall. She represents the winning run, and that'll be Michaela Tipton. Here's the pitch by Morris. Swing on, and that's down. Here comes Kuykendall. She's safe, and the game is over.
Beautiful play. My goodness.
Michaela Tipton hit one up the middle.
Look at there. That is great to see Michaela Tipton get that. After what she's been through this year and her teammates hugging her like that, that is it right there, folks.
So the game is over in the bottom of the seventh. Pisgah wins in dramatic fashion, 1-0 over West Henderson. Rhonda will be back for our post-game show here from the Diamond on the River Complex in Canton.
This broadcast of Pisgah Sugar Bears softball is being brought to you by American Pond and Pickers, B. Allen Construction, Ken Wilson Ford, Midwest Haywood, and Champion Credit Union. B. Allen Construction Company is proudly backing the Pisgah Black Bears girls softball team. B. Allen Construction has a history of excellence. Large commercial construction, residential building and remodeling, large jobs or small. B. Allen Construction Company of Candler is happy to provide free estimates, references, and a commitment to doing the job right. For construction, grading too, call 665-8479 for B. Allen Construction.
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union.
I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Big, huge win in the bottom of the seventh. Win and run for Callie Kirkendall. Fitting that she's pitched an outstanding game today. Coming off that loss last night, and she got rattled. A different pitcher today, Chuck.
Well, and she was a different pitcher right from the beginning, Rhonda. And you have to look at the fact that we saw two great pitching performances. It's a shame one of those pitchers has to take the loss, and that's Brianna Morris of West Henderson. But, you know, the pitcher for Pisgah gets a big double to lead off the bottom of the seventh inning. She pitched the gem of the game, and so she took it on upon her shoulders, batting in the six hole. You can take a cleanup hitter, move them down in the six hole, and they pout. And it takes them two or three games to get out of that putting move. Kelly wasn't pouting.
No,
Kelly came up, and she just went, and she took that thing, almost hit a home run, got a stand-up double, great sacrifice bunt to move her over by Mason McCracken, and then you had Michaela Tipton step up, hit one beat over the head of the pitcher, right in front of second base, diving Kelsey Walker, the second baseman, came up and threw from her knees, but Kelly Kirkendall, she was moving on the play.
And the only play they had was at the plate. They knew the runner was going to go, so when she came up throwing at the plate, she knew she had to go to the plate because getting the runner out at first was not even going to help matters. So, you know, kudos. That's the second night in a row that West Henderson's lost 1-0. You know, that's a heartbreaker when you lose. And Brianna Morris pitched both games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's heartbreaker. And you wonder if that might have to do with the psyche of West's program right now. They're not as strong as they were last year.
Well, again, you know, we're not playing great offensively, no. But yet we're playing. I thought we played great defensively, no. And then we got a great, maybe the best pitching performance out of Callie Kirkendall all year. But you know that this, when it come clutch time, mm-hmm. You came up with the hit to start the inning, and then you did what you had to do, move the runner over into scoring position, and allowed it to happen. So we're going to take a break, get some commercials. And then when we come back, Rhonda will have two special stars of the game when we return from Diamonds on the River Complex with the final score, Pisgah 1, West Henderson nothing. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Chad Upton, voice of the Pisgah Bears. Coming up on the evening of Saturday, May the 18th, is the annual Pisgah High School Boosters Club Drawdown Dinner. It's your chance to win some big money and help all of the athletic programs at Pisgah High School. Tickets include a steak dinner for two and are available by calling the school at 646-3440. Again, you can dial 646-3440 for your tickets to the annual Pisgah Boosters Club Drawdown Dinner. Join us for an exciting event and join WPTL in backing the Bears.
Right now at the Home Depot, you can save 10% on any appliance of $397 or more. Get the best new features and ideas from top brand names like Maytag, Samsung, and LG. From washers and dryers to ranges, fridges, and freezers, you can dream big without disturbing your wallet. Thanks to 10% off any new appliance of $397 or more. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 1st, U.S. only. See store for details.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of...
Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on all your favorite Stouffer's meals for one. Today.
Well, it's a final at Pisgah. The Bears win 1-0 in a dramatic fashion in the seventh, bottom of the seventh. Huge win for us coming off that big loss last night against Franklin. I know that one really stuck in your craw last night. I have a special guest here with me, Mahala Irvin, the catcher for Pisgah. Then we're going to interview the star, one of the other stars again. Me and Chuck were flipping back and forth and we wanted to interview. I said, let's just do them both. They were both the stars of the game. Excellent game you called today against West Henderson. I mean, it seemed like you and Callie were on the same page. You come back after that loss last night against Franklin where there were two home runs hit, and y'all just, like, buckled down and said, you know, that's nothing. That's behind us. This is our game.
Yeah, even last night when we did get down, me and Callie are able to work well with each other, and we're able to always come out on top, and we really do work well with each other.
Today's game, what was the focus going into today's game? You knew how important it was to beat West and keep in the leader's position. You're a senior. You want that at least one conference championship before you leave here.
Oh, yeah. Today was an important game just because of yesterday with that loss. I mean, losing against Franklin's not fun for us. I mean, Pisgah and Franklin's a big rivalry. And coming out here and winning just kind of boosts our confidence, whether it's 1-0, 20-0, anything. But, yeah, it really helped our self-esteem a lot.
Now, in this game, I know you're having to fool with a new pitcher this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time you worked with Callie. How do you feel like your relationship's grown this year?
Even though I'm a senior and she's a sophomore, we're able to talk well with each other, which any catcher should do with a pitcher. You should always have a good relationship with your pitcher. And we were able to bond very well with each other, and it was very nice. She was always very nice to me since the beginning of the season, very open, and we're able to talk well with each other. If she has a problem with me, she always tells me, and if I have a problem with her, I always tell her, whether it's shaking off pitches, whether we're in a bad mood one day, we just work well with each other.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen Callie shake off a pitch from you.
No, she usually just smiles.
She just smiles. So that's where we get the nickname Smiley now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She focuses very well in there. Even if you have a batter getting on base and maybe an error behind her, but she focuses very well. Does that help you call a game better?
Yes, because it makes me feel like she's very confident in what I call and that she knows that she's a good pitcher and that whatever I call that she'll throw it. Even if she misses or whether she hits it, she has confidence in what she's throwing, and that makes a good pitcher.
Well, this is your senior season. Looks like we got to keep focused, but looks like we might get you that elusive conference championship that you need to go. And congratulations on a big win, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now we're going to get Callie Kirkendall, as soon as we get her set up here with the headsets and stuff. All right, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kelly, great game today. After last night, you struggled with, you had two home runs hit off Caitlin Bishop, and I can't remember the other girl off the top of my head, but you come back out today, and you looked at from the very beginning, from pitch one, you were focused. You were ready, and it was just like you were angry after that last night. Is that about how you felt about your performance?
Yeah, last night it was a very hard performance, and our team just wasn't up, and we weren't really hitting the ball. And I just wanted to come out today, and I wanted to pitch good and maybe get the team up behind me so that we would play with well.
Well, when you got that leadoff double in that bottom of the seventh, I could tell you were excited. But just go back and tell me what the coach said to you right before you went up. I know because we're talking over there, but what did she give you when you went up the bat?
She just tells me to help myself out, and that just makes me want to hit. And I knew that we had to score here or we were going to go an extra innings, and I sure didn't want to pitch another one.
A little tired after last night.
Yeah. So I was ready to hit, and Coach Morgan told us over there in the huddle, just stay back and wait on the ball and drive it, and that's what I did.
Well, you got over to third on the sacrifice bunt by Mason McCracken. and you were, they took a timeout when you had Tipton coming up to bat. Tipton missed a home run earlier in the game, and I said, that's all we need, her sack fly, we're going to get a run in. And you were dancing over on the third base side. You got some pretty good moves there, girl.
Thanks. I just try to keep smiling, and it helps me out, like, to keep focused. And Paul, he's just, I said, Paul, they've called more timeouts in this game. He said, oh, it's all right, you're going to score right here. And so I was ready, and I like hearing the fans over here screaming. So I just tried to keep the dugout up and during that timeout.
So he told you to go on a hit, any hit, go.
Well, he told me that if they look me back, you know, make sure that they don't throw it. He said, but I need to get home. And when I saw that ball gone down, I was like, I'm there.
And it was great. And so when you run across, got across home plate, you get, the biggest thing was I seen you hug Michaela Tipton. She's had a rough year with her eyes and everything, but that picture was worth a thousand words with you hugging your teammate.
Yeah, me and Tip's relationship has really grown this season. And no matter whether she's in the circle or I'm in the circle, we still try to keep each other up and going. And we, no matter if she's not playing a game, we still communicate, and she encourages me throughout the game.
Well, congratulations. Big win, big comeback after the last night's performance. Great pitching performance. You allowed two hits. Awesome, awesome game. Congratulations, Callie, and we will see you next week.
All right, thank you.
Well, you got it here, folks. Two stars of the game, Callie Kirkendall, Mahala Irvin, pitcher-catcher combo. Great pitching performance by Callie Kirkendall and the winning run by Callie Kirkendall. You know, you can't ask for any bigger performance by your star players, and that's what we got today. So it is a final here in Canton. 1-0, Pisgah wins, keeps that top position in the conference. And that's all we can ask for right now, is you got to play each game. So our next game, our next live broadcast, will be April 23rd. We will be playing Tuscola at Tuscola. And game time for that right now is 4 o'clock, 3:45 pregame. So the Pisgah's next game will be April 22nd against AC Reynolds. That will not be a radio game, but the 23rd against Tuscola will be. And so join us then at Tuscola's field, April 23rd, 3:45 pregame. 4 o'clock first pitch projected right now, barring no bad weather, and Lord knows we've had enough of that. So it's a final. Pisgah wins 1-0. We will see you April 23rd against us going.